there's not the stop hands.
No.
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah, I'm right. For once, I'm actually right.
Not for once, though.
And we're right at the top of the daf. But the problem is, in order to get back into this daf, we better do a brief review, because the Gemara is about to ask about what we did on the daf before. So you'll remember that we had a fascinating machloket, which is we had two cases that on the surface were similar. In one case, we had Rebbe telling us about a mavui that ended in the middle of a rechava. A rechava is the backyard. And what's important about that is that it's not considered to be makom diurin, and in not having a makom diurin, it will not aser because of the people that are in it won't aser them over. So that means that Rabbi Yehuda specifically chose a case where he could isolate the issues. He wanted to get rid of the problem of diurin, and he wanted to focus on the problem of the pirtza in the wall. Okay? So remember, throughout Erevin, we have two fundamental concerns. We have to have the mechitza properly defined to be considered a rishut hayachid rabbanan. And we also, in cases where the usage is public usage, we have to create Erevin in order to make certain that it's not confused with the public usage of the Rishut Rabbim. Because the two cases have two elements in them, both the population problem, the usage problem, and also the Mechitza problem, we need to isolate what the particular issues were. So Rav Yehuda chose, as his case, a case where a mavui ends in a backyard on one side. So it leads from a Rishut Rabbim, leads from a regular avenue, and ends in a yard, backyard, which is broken through to the avenue on the other side. This was the case. Now what's important about that is that because it's a backyard, it does not have any people using it normally for ingress and egress. This was the number 41. Picture number 41. Okay. This case, however, of Rav's case was the bottom case where it ended in a chatzer. In both cases, the wall opposite the break, this was originally closed, fell down, and the wall opposite the break was open itself into a Shulchan Aruch. So what happens is that because of the particular cases, we have two opposite shitot, or at least that's what we thought, until it turned out that Rav clarified that he was just responding to a case. He wasn't specifying this case. But in any event, originally what we had thought was that Rav Yehuda specified a case of Rechava in order to avoid the diurin problem. So that way he had a laboratory case of a simple pirtza that wouldn't be confused with people using it. And he said that pirtza is not a problem. It's okay, because as far as we're concerned, the mavui still ends basically in the rechava. And the fact that the rechava is parutz on the other side doesn't bother us. I had to specify this case, he seemed to be saying, because if it would have been diurin, then the diurin would have in fact invaded the mavui and would have made a demand for a shituf nevot. Rav, on the other hand, took the case of a chatzer, and originally we thought that the reason he took the case of the chatzer was because the break in the wall is not the problem to him, but rather the case that was problematic would be the people breaking in was not a problem. He wanted to make that clear. And it's only because the wall was facing directly the mavui that he felt he had a problem. In the end, the Gemara says, no, it's not. That's not true. But actually, Rav had no problem with the breaking. Was only concerned with the Eruv. And the question would be, was there an Eruv or was there not an Eruv? But today, the Gemara wants to know, and let's begin. Well, the Maida Salakadati Meikara, what we originally thought, that there were two separate issues of contention between Rav Yehuda and Rav, actually Shmuel and Rav, because we said Rav Yehuda was going, I'll leave it to Shmuel. So what we originally thought was that they were arguing on two issues. First of all, whether there was a problem of diurim, and that would be a case shelo irvu, and whether there was a problem in the broken wall, which would have been the case where they were irvu. Okay? So they were arguing bein shi irvu, u bein shelo irvu plege. I'm interested in knowing, A, b'irvu b'mai plege, and B, b'shelo irvu b'mai plege. Please define the machlokas in here as you originally considered them to exist. Well, the machloket that they're having in the case of shalom yirvu is the question of whether we look at this case of the chatzer here as being a case which we find later on in the Mishnah of a small chatzer whose wall breaks completely through from one end to the other into a large chatzer. Now over there, that's later, I don't know where that is. I'm not going to start looking for you. So that case there, it says b'feirush in the Mishnah that the problem exists for people in the smaller chatzer, but there's no problem with the people in the large chatzer. Why? Because the people in the large chatzer, when they face the small chatzer, they clearly see that small chatzer is not broken completely into theirs because they can see the wall on either side. It's only when you're in the smaller chatzer that you think that this chatzer simply extends into a larger area. Right? So now the question is, if that's the case, what is the implications of the outside markers, the people standing in the mavui? That's our issue. So if you hold that because of the fact that the people that are inside the mavui see a wall completely parutz, And that, to them, is now, the fact that it's nearer bichutz means nothing to them, because bifnim, it's not near at all. From inside of the body, it's absolutely not there. And so therefore, to them, it's considered to be porutz bimlo. To the other people, it's not considered to be porutz. The machlokus over here is whether binogea, the issue of the requirement for the population to be separated, whether this is considered to be a separation. Normally, obviously, if a mavui was normally opened into a chotzer, then that chotzer would absolutely need to be mishtatef for the mavui, no question. In this particular case, the mavui isn't normally open to the chotzer, the wall collapsed. Since the wall collapsed, the people in the chotzer don't usually use this mavui. Therefore, there isn't any problem just by virtue of the fact that it's opening into that chotzer, because this isn't the normal ingress and egress from the chotzer. So therefore, the shayla is like this. Shmuel holds, look, that's not considered to be a shiur. It's considered to be a pirza from inside of the mavui. Therefore, as far as people in the mavui are concerned, the people in the chotzer facing them are in the mavui. And because of that, they need a shituf, an eruv. No, there wasn't rabbi there. And the other shita takes the mishnah on face value and says that, look, the gifufi meaning either side of the wall that you see from inside, works for the people that are inside the smaller chotzer as well. The reason, in this case the mavui, the reason that the Mishnah says it doesn't work for the smaller chotzer, according to Rav, would have to be because the case is that the walls of the chotzer extended into the larger chotzer. Therefore, there were no gifufi. In other words, when you looked at the wall, what you see is not two edges and an opening. The opening being, of course, the collapsed wall of the smaller chotzer. You don't see that. Because according to Rav, the case is that the wall of the smaller chotzer extended inward into the larger room, and suddenly there's a hole in that wall, in the end of the wall, but the two sides are still whole. Since the two sides are so whole, I don't see any gifufi. So therefore, in that case, you would agree. But in the case of the mavui, where the edge of the mavui has collapsed completely, then already that's already considered to be a simin, both for inside the mavui and for outside the mavui. And how about in the case of bi'irvu? Bi'irvu, the kamitzla gave it to Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef said that the entire issue over here is loshana l'shakala la'emtza rechava. Taking the case of Rabbi Yehuda, which was the case that we had over here, where the wall on either side of the break into Rishut Rabim is extended. But suppose this mavui would have ended right at, is it heaven? Yeah. Right at the edge, such as in this case, picture 43. Right at the edge, so that when you're standing in the mavui, it looks as if the mavui extends till the end, because it's the same wall. So then, in that case, of course it would be Asur, said Rabbi Yosef, because what you have over here is essentially either a mavui that is open into Rishut Rabim on either end, so that's certainly not going to be any good, and this entire area is basically a mavui yakum, right? Because it's larger than 10, and it's completely destroyed the mavui, and all you have now is a mavui that's porous on both ends. But, says Rabbi Yosef, the only place where we can say not like that is where it's in the middle of the rechava. Avakala l'tzidei rechava asur. So therefore, Rav holds, even though this is the case, that since when you're sitting in the mavui, you cannot distinguish that fact. When you're in the mavui back here somewhere, even in the other case, you're in the mavui back here, you have no idea that the mavui doesn't end in an opening in Rishut HaRabim, because you can't see to the sides. You don't know that there's anything on the side. So as far as you're concerned in the mavui, this is a mavui that goes straight through Rishut HaRabim. Therefore, said Rav, look, I don't care about what Rabbi Yosef is saying. It's only us or where the wall extends into Rishut HaRabim, because to an observer in the mavui, the wall is irrelevant. He sees the Rishut HaRabim on the other side, and therefore we have a problem. Omar Rav, Hadi Amrit, Le'en Sarechava Mutar. Now, coming on now, assuming that Rob's case was a case in which you actually had the break in the wall directly across from the mavui when it went through the chotzer, then Rabba says we made a mistake. Because hadi amrit le'emtza rechava mutar, when you say that you can have a hole directly smack bang in the middle, that's lo amrit le'ezeh shelo k'neged zeh, avos ne k'neged zeh asur. If the street in the mavui leads directly facing the break in the rechava into Rishut HaRabim, in that case for sure it would be asur. Because, again, nobody would argue about the fact that when you're in the mavui, you look straight through and you see the street broken on the other side. And that's the only thing that matters to me. Now, if that's true, then when Rav said that the case was kenegdo, and that if it would be a irvo, it would have been mutter, because it was kenegdo and there were sides on either side, he must not have meant literally kenegdo. In other words, what he must have meant is that the wall was offset, here, like this. This would be the case that Rav meant. This is picture number 44. So that in the wall is the wall connecto, it's the wall facing the mavui. The opening is in the middle of that wall, but it's not directly facing the mavui, so that there's still a difference inside the mavui, and you don't see the opening on the other side. Okay, so according to Robert, we're going to have to adjust what we said before, because clearly Robert says that case, the way we had understood it, was wrong. Because we thought there was basically an either-or situation. Either you're at the edge, or you're at the middle. What Robert's pointing out is no, that's not true. There's not an either-or. You could be at the edge, which is definitely also the way Rabbi Yosef is saying. Or you could be directly facing the break, which I claim everybody would hold is usur. And you could also have a case in which you have kinegdo, that is to say it's in the opposite wall, but it's not literally facing the opening of the mavui. And what the advantage of that is that it does not look to be kolutz inside of the mavui. And in actuality, it has gifufi on either side, and therefore it's not considered to be a problem. Okay, so this is a new adjustment that Rob has given. I didn't think of that before. So lo amr al zeh shalok kinegdo zeh, al zeh kinegdo zeh asur. I want to make a further adjustment, says Rav Meshasha, because now that we're introducing the question of the placement, and we've got this new concern about the wall continuing on directly from the mavui straight through to the Rishut HaRabim, which Rav Yosef said is definitely also. And that means you have to now stipulate that lo amran ela rechavad rabim. The reason it would be mutter is because it's owned by a lot of people, and when a yard is owned by a lot of people, nobody can get anything done. So there's very little chance there's going to be any additional building because all the other neighbors were driving crazy. If a single person owns that backyard, then we'll have to asr it. Because once you establish that it's mutter just because of the current situation of the wall extending on either side, that's liable to change next week when the guy builds an extension to his house. Now it comes down to the same level that the mavri was, in which case it'll all be asr, but they'll say, oh, but Rav Paskin, it was mutter. How dare you question Rav's track? The fact is, of course, it was mutter in completely different circumstances. And therefore, zina de min lechala. Sometimes he'll change his mind. Ubani lo vatim, he's going to add rooms. At that point, it becomes a mavri that the wall extends directly into the Rishut HaRabim, and then it's asr. Where do you get the idea that you have a right to take into consideration those things, and that there's a difference between publicly owned, as a public knows more than one person, and an individual? I'll show you. There was once a maisa in which they had a mavui that had a mechitza. It's closed on one end. The other end of the mavui was open, but it was open in a way that, for all intents and purposes, was a mechitza. Why? On one side of the road, there was a seashore with a drop. So the drop is not a problem because it's a mechitza. It's a mechitza go up, a mechitza go down. It's exactly the same thing. So it had a mechitza on one side. It was a seashore. On the other side, it was a garbage dump. And the garbage dump kept growing the way it does on the Route 4 over there. And so in the melee, it's a mechitza too. And therefore, they wanted to carry it through it because it was above Isatun. You know, it looked sort of open, but technically speaking, it had mechitzot. And what happened is they went and asked the Shaila, Bomaaseh lefnei Rabbi. They asked Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, and he refused to say it was mutter. On the other hand, he didn't want to say it was asur. So lo amar v'lo heter v'lo yisur. Lo amar v'lo, why yisur lo amar v'lo? He couldn't say it's asur because under current circumstances it's mutter. It has mechitzot on either end. On the other hand, he didn't want to say it was heter. Heter lo amar v'lo because chashina shemetina tel ashba. We're afraid that someone may move the ashba. The ya'aleh hayam sirton. And we're afraid that the yam will silt up. And what is presently a 10 tefachim drop will actually become filled with sand and be silted in. And then you won't have a mechitz at all and no one will notice. Therefore, he didn't want to be matir because of the liability for change. Now, the thing is, I can ask you, we know that we have other cases of precedent where we rely on the fact that an ashpa is present. For instance, atznan, ashpa b'reshut harabim. Suppose you live over a garbage dump. Well, I wasn't just postulating. Suppose you live over a garbage dump. Now, there's a reshut harabim all around, but the garbage dump itself is not a reshut harabim because it's kavoa sarah. What you'd like to do is what everybody else does. Throw the garbage right out of your window and get it right into the garbage dump. Why bother walking down? And if it's on Shabbos, you won't be able to get there. Now, Shane Katie, if it's on Shabbos, you throw through your window, it goes through a Mokum Patur, and then lands directly into Rishut HaYachid. Rishut HaYachid, Derek Mokum Patur, it's all A-OK. Perfect. So it says over there that you're allowed, actually, Zorkin La B'Shabbat. Now, how can you allow Zrika B'Shabbat? What happens if through some miracle they actually clear out the Ashpa one day? The answer is, clearly, it's a public Ashpa. They'll never get anything done. It's only going to get bigger, not smaller. Mashenke, in the other case, must have been it was a private Ashpa. What other explanation is there? So you see, therefore, that when an Ashpa is owned by the public, it's one thing. When it's owned by a private individual, it's another thing. And Memela, well, I want to say, the same thing should be true, said Ramesh, when it comes to building in a Rechava. If it's owned by an individual, he can get something built over there. If it's owned by a few people, they'll kill each other first. So therefore, Amashani bin Ashpa li derabim, Ashpa di Yachid. Achenami shani bin Rechava derabim, li Rechava di Yachid. Okay. That's what I would assume, Sajon Misharsha. So now we have a lot of caveats to the case that we had before. We thought it was all very simple. Actually, it turns out, first of all, you can't have an extended wall to the end. Furthermore, you can't be directly facing Richie. You told me that you were going to...
I was going to try, but...
wait a minute. That's only for doing tshuva, trying. So that we also know that you can no longer have the entire break facing the Mavui. And we also now have a Misharsha's issue about wondering about maybe someone will build out. You know about that, Richie. Maybe somebody building out. Okay, and if they build out, then they're going to end up with a situation that the wall of the Mav extends directly to Shul Rabbi. Taking those things into consideration, however, we still have some maneuvering room. Now, you wanted to ask something there, Medinitz.
I just wanted to ask why how he has a right there's no Gavusha, then obviously not going to be throwing it into the Gavusha, but it's not there. In other words, what's the right in the Mishnah?
No, the question is, will it be less than 10 Tvachim? If it changes, it's no longer 10 Tvachim.
But they're worried about taking a little bit of the Gavusha.
Yeah, or my insistence about turning it into garbage dump again. We used to throw out there. Yes, we know about that too. Mm. Okay, for Rabbanan mine, what did the Rabbanan say? I mean, Rebbe refused to give up Psak. I assume they asked the other Rabbanan. What did the Rabbanan say? On Rebbe Yezibar Vadimi, Tana the Chachamim Asri. It says in a Braita that the Chachamim said that that case of the Mavui, with the Yam and with the Ashba, nice combination, that the Chachamim Asr, and on Rebbe Nachman Halachaki Divrei Chachamim, that it's Asur. There was another Lashon that said Amr Bias Barbi Divitana. Actually, the Brayta said Chachamim Matirin, and Amr Nachman in Alakaki Divrei Chachamim. Now, in Surah, they had an interesting situation that basically the entire Surah was a sea town, one of these vacation villages, you know. Well, you know, more like Santa Cruz. So all the little streets were beach streets. They ended on the beach, you know, like Lawrence, New York. Okay, so you had these beach streets. Now, the problem was that the beach streets, everybody was relying on the yam at the end of the street to turn it basically into a mavui satum because the yam was sote, because there was a drop. And Marema didn't like that because he was afraid of silting. And so what he did was, posikle lesura uzli, he had the end of every street closed off with a kind of netting that served as a mafitza. We have a nice picture of uzlis? No uzlis?
Uzli.
Looks more like a mechitza from the show for the women or something, the way he has it here. But anyway, something like that. In case you don't know what a yam looks like in a garbage dump, you can look at that picture. And this one also has a scratch it. If you want to smell the garbage, you can scratch it.
That's this one. This one looks more like a tennis court.
But Amar, he said, Chashinan, huh? Chashinan Shemayala Ayam Sirtoni was afraid that the sea would silt up, and they'd end up with a real beach in the back, and then they would have a problem. Now, there was also a Mavui Akum, and once we hear that word Mavui Akum, we're back to the machlokas that we had before about Rav and Shmuel, whether a Mavui Akum is viewed as the equivalent of the same Mavui straight, and therefore it's open on both ends, and it's considered to be a Mavui that requires now a Tikkun on both ends, because both sides is mafulash. And according to the Shmuel, it's considered to be Satun. So there was a Mavui that was Akum in Surah. Somebody went ahead and Koruch Budya, and Utiva Baba Bumita. He took a mat, rolled it up. We got a picture? Here's the picture. I don't really like this picture. But he rolled up the mat and he stuck the mat in the corner of the two. Yeah, he treated the mat like a lefty. In the corner of the two, where the two Mavaot meet. Okay, that's in picture number? No, it's Dafka mat. Picture 48. Okay? Now, the problem with this is that there's two problems. First of all, where it's located. Because if you're putting it in the akmumit, in the middle piece over here, then the question is, if you're treating it, remember, according to Shmuel, it's a mavui satum. If it's a mavui satum, then in one shot of Rashi, it didn't require anything richy. Anything richy. Anything richy. It didn't require anything richy. Richy, they use richy as a lechi because it never moves. They just put him up. The problem was that he keels over, so they couldn't rely on it. Because so.
It's also not quite that amos.
So they stuck this up over here. So first of all, this thing has a tendency, I mean, this isn't going to stand very well, obviously. It's going to blow down. Yeah, it's going to fall over. And furthermore, depending on the Pshat and Rashi, it may also have been in the wrong location. Because one Pshat and Rashi is that you don't need any tikkun for the akmumut at all. You only need something on each mavui works independently. So each mavui has its entrance, but you don't need to worry about the mavui's entrance into the other mavui because it's sealed. It's got three walls. This is a petach, as long as it's less than 10 amot, right? Okay, so over here, Rav Chista said, look, this is crazy because it's not good according to anybody. It doesn't work like Rav, and it doesn't work like Shmuel. If you're going according to Rav holds that a mavui that's akum, Torah tokim mefulash, it's considered to be open on both ends. If it's open on both ends, it has to have a tzurat ha-petach. It doesn't help to put up a lechi. And if it's going according to Shmuel, it's also got a problem, because even according to Shmuel, who says Torah Toki Satum, Ani Mili Lechi Ma'alyan, again, this would depend how we're going to learn the case. If you hold like the Rashi Pshat, that you don't need anything there at all, so when we say Ani Mili Lechi Ma'alyan, then it means that you got to have the Lechi in the other place anyway, if you're going to put it there. It's a real Lechi, it's not a Lechi in the Akmiyus. Or if you have his Rebbe's Pshat, his Rebbe said you did need to put the Lechi in the Akmiyus, but it needs to be a good Lechi. And this thing ain't no good Lechi, because it's going to keel over. And therefore, it wouldn't work. Kiva Nadashim Bezik of a Shadilei, since the wind is simply going to eventually throw it over, lo kolono, this is not a Lechi. V'inayit Bezik of a Chavre, Chavre. Yeah, if you put some screws through it and make sure that it stands, there's nothing wrong with a wrapped up carpet to use as a Lechi, but it's got to be held up in such a way that it's not going to fall over. Gufa. Attach, yes, sikh attach it. Gufa on Rabbi Yirmiyahu Barav Amarav, Mavui Shini Prats Bimlo, the Chatzer, Venifritz Chatzer Kenegdo, Chatzer Mutera to Mavui Asur. Let's look again at the case that Rav gave us before. The Mavui ends in the middle of a Chatzer because the wall broke down at the end of the Mavui. It's completely patuach into that Chatzer. Rav says that the case over there is that the Chatzer is Mutter, the Mavui is Asur, and this was talking about the case where there were low Yiruv. Omerle Rav Barul, the Rabbi Barabai. Rabbi, what exactly is the Chiddush about Rav? Isn't that a Mishnah? Lo Mishnatenu Uzo, we're going to get to this Mishnah later. Chatzer kitana, shenifritzala chatzer gedola, gedola muter tu kitana asura, mipnei shehi kipitcha shel gedola. Same exact issue as here, it seems to be. Instead of, the only difference is that instead of a mavui opening into the chatzer, a chatzer opens into a chatzer, a small chatzer. The wall falls down, collapses, it's now entirely broken into the larger chatzer. And basically the Mishnah says exactly what Rav said, that the large chatzer is fine, and the small chatzer's got a problem if they don't make an Eruv. So I don't understand that. I mean, I don't need Rav to teach me a Mishnah. There's no difference between the chatzer case and the Mavui case, and certainly not in terms of the Mechitza. It's precisely the same situation. Ah, he said to him, excuse me, sir, but in the case of the chatzer broken into a chatzer, you didn't have the additional complication of the wall of the chatzer broken into Rishut Rabim, which would allow B'nai Rishut Rabim to cut through the chatzer, because they know, oh, right away, as soon as there's a new shortcut, hey, Joe, did you hear? The wall fell down, so it's fine. Just drive through. You cut out the whole light at the corner. So all the B'nai Rishut Rabim cut through now into this mavui. So therefore, it's Darsi Barabim. Heichad Kadarsi Barabim. Ema filu chatzer nami. In a case where a mavui opens up, the reason that the Mavui is more complex is because the Mavui now provides people a shortcut to get through to the Rishut HaRabim that the Mavui opens into. And therefore, I would have thought that even the Chatzar would be Aser, not only the Mavui. So the Chatzar Gadol should also be Aser. So he said to him, well, that's a nice answer, but it doesn't work, because there's another Mishnah that addresses exactly that issue. V'anami Taninu, Chatzar Shaharabim Niknasim La Bizo, V'yotzim La Bizo. If you have a Chatzar, where the Chatzar itself is serving as a shortcut, so that a wall broke on the other side, now they can cut through the chatzer. To forget about mavui. Okay, so now this is the same case. Says over there, it's a Rishut HaRabim L'tum'ah. As far as tum'ah is concerned, it's called Rishut HaRabim, because remember that the criteria for defining Rishut HaRabim vis-a-vis tum'ah have nothing in common with the criteria for Shabbat. As far as we're concerned, what defines Rishut HaRabim is learned from Sota. The whole marker of the difference between Rishut HaRabim and Rishut HaYachid for tum'ah is because the Torah calls the suffix of a woman, whether she slept with this other guy or not, a suffix tum'ah, because he needs tum'ah. Obviously, it doesn't technically mean tum'ah. But since the Torah gave it the din of tum'ah, the word tum'ah, so we learn from there that where we have a suffix Rishut HaYachid, obviously nobody's going to be sleeping with this ashba, clearly, but the same idea applies. It's in Rishut HaYachid. There's only room for two people, and that's it. So then it's on Rishut HaRabim. But over here, once the Rishut HaRabim is open into the chatzer, everybody's cutting through. So as far as Tuma is concerned, nobody's going to be making out in this chatzer because everybody's breaking. So therefore, it's considered to be Rishut HaRabim. Not no problem with Tuma. When it comes to Shabbat, however, there, since we have Mechitzot, the Bekiah of Rabim do not change the nature of Mechitzot, and it's considered to be Rishut HaYachid B'Shabbat. So now, put together these two Mishnayot, and you have Rav's din, right? The second one tells me that Rabim breaking into a chatzer do not change the status of the chatzer for Shabbos. Fine, that was your excuse for why we needed Rav. And the first one tells us that where you have two Rishuyot, one of which looks at a larger wall, in which the small wall, even though the smaller wall is out, completely broken to the people in the smaller room, but to the people in the large room, that's irrelevant. Fine. That's both of the elements of Rav exist in the Mishnah. Explain to me why you need Rav. Ah, I told him, I'll tell you why. You need Rav because imi hatam, hava mina hanimili zeh shalo keneged zeh. See, I might have thought, if you only told me there, that it would dafka be in a case where they weren't facing each other directly. Rav's case, remember, at least if you don't accept Rav's adjustment, Rav's case was where the entry into the Rishut HaRabim faced directly the Mavui. Now, you didn't know that even if the Mavui opens directly into the same space where the Rishut HaRabim is, that also is not going to change the status of the Rishut HaYachid for Shabbat, right? Well, it's right, unless you hold a Rava. How about according to Rava? Because Rava said that Rav never discussed the case where it was Zeke Neged Zeh, right? Because if it would have been Zeke Neged Zeh, as Rava just said a few minutes ago, then Rav would have agreed that, no, then you got a problem, because then in the Vavli, you're looking straight through into Rishat Ravim. So how about according to Rava, do you have a Zeke Neged Zeh Asur? In which case, Rav wasn't talking about literally Zeke Neged Zeh. He was only talking about facing the wall, but not facing the opening. So now we have basically a Mishnah telling us what Rav. So why do I need these two cases? I understand. So Tarti Lomali. Very simple. Because let's say you would have had that mission. It says it's Rishut Ayachid for Shabbat. What does that mean? It's Rishut Ayachid for Shabbat. Does that mean necessarily that there's no Eruv problem? Wherever you don't have an Eruv, it's Rishut Rabbim. Rishut Ayachid for Shabbat. So if somebody throws into it for Rishut Rabbim, is he Chayev? Absolutely. Ah, you're not allowed to carry in it. That's a Takonet Rabbonah, to make it into the equivalent of Rishut Rabbim until you have an Eruv. So how would you know if you read that Mishnah and it said it's Rishut Ayachid for Shabbat, how would you know that that means that you're allowed to carry in it? Maybe it just means it's Rishut Ayachid for Shabbat, that if somebody would carry into it from Rishut Rabbim, he would be Chayev. Maybe that's all it means. Rav comes to tell you that it's actually Mutzer to carry within it. Ah, that's a whole different ballgame. And so Memela, we still need Rav. Let's see that inside. That's only as far as somebody who throws a different ballgame into, from Rishut Rabbim, into this Rishut Ayachid, Avalataltel, but to carry within the Chotzer itself, Emalo, perhaps not. Maybe the Rabban would be Matmer, if it's Parutz in that fashion. But Mahashvalan now, that even so, it's considered to be no problem, it's to be Eruv, and it's considered to be mutter to carry. Itzma, Mavui ha'asui kenada. Suppose you have a Mavui that's built like a centipede. So, take a look in the Tzura in Tosafot, there on the right, and that gives you a good sense of what we're talking about. The legs of this centipede are not facing each other. You know, so it's walking like that. You know? Okay. This one is here, that one's there. This one's here, that one's there. The reason that we have to stipulate that is because otherwise you would have a mavui that would be mufulash basically through the other side. The only time that we said that a mavui akum, what we actually have over here is a lot of mavui akums, right? We have one standard mavui, and then all these little ones that open up into it are basically mavuis akums, which is part of the machlokas of Rav and Shmuel. But the only time that we have the machlokas of Rav and Shmuel is where when you're standing in the mavui that opens up into the other mavui, you see the wall in front of you. Not you see the Rishut Rabbim on the other side of the street. Correct? Mm-hmm. So if these streets would be literally cross streets, so then it wouldn't be a mavui akum. Then it would be a mavui mefulash. Forget about the relationship to the avenue that's crossing per particular. I don't even need to worry about that. I got bigger problems in my life. I got a Rishut Rabbim on either side of my, either end of my street. Therefore, Sistosafot, obviously we're talking about where the streets didn't face each other, but they were offset. And they were offset in such a way that each one of these streets now, with the middle street, is a mavui akum. Because if you block out anything but any two streets, you have a standard case of a mavui akum.
Talking about all the little
mavui akum. Right, all the little mavui akum, mavui akum. The truth is that the main mavui may also be a mavui akum, because the case could easily be, hello, pictures. The case could easily be picture 50. And we would avoid the Tosafot problem completely. This is a flatland noddle. Okay. Yeah. So you can exactly. So here's your noddle walking on its legs. You don't see the other legs. Okay, that's the Marshal Scott Rashi, because Rashi has got a problem, which I'm sure you'll notice when you review this. And in one case, it seems to imply that the main mavui comes straight through to Rishut Rabbim on either end, and on the other, in another Rashi, he implies that it doesn't. The Marshal's solution is simply this, that the main mavui itself is open if you hold a mavui okum, is considered to be mufulash. So, in any event, so what do you do in such a case where you've got this noddle? So, well, and what they did was, Abaya said, what you do is you make it Tzurata Petach for the big one, and then all of the little ones could have their own Lechi or Korah. And that would be fine. Now, in other words, what is he assuming over here? He's assuming a contradiction. Because you only need a Tzurat HaPetach if I consider the Mavui Akum to be Mefulash. Otherwise, what do I got to worry about? Right? I mean, if you hold that it's Satum, so then there'd be no problem. But the thing is, over here, that you're saying that it's sufficient over here to go ahead and to put on each one of them a lechi or a korah, and you don't have to do anything to close off the area which is between the big one and the small one. In other words, if you hold that a mavui broken into another mavui is mufulash, you have to seal the end of each one of the streets as it opens into the large street, because it's mufulash into that mavui. If you hold that it's considered to be satum, so whose business is it if there's a tzurat ha-petach? Who needs a tzurat ha-petach? I don't care about the people on the street. I'm interested in my little mavui. Can I or can I not put a Lechi Rekora up there? That's all. Don't talk to me about Tzurat HaPetach. So this is a contradiction. If you're talking about Tzurat HaPetach, you're viewing it as Mifulash. But if it's Mifulash, you need to fix the end where it's broken, not Tzurat HaPetach on the big street. It's not going to help you. Asks the Gemara, well, what is it supposed to mean? Amalei Rav, excuse me. Come on. I mean, Kishmuel, obviously you're allowing the whole thing to be open. Who holds that Torah Torah Kisatum? If you're going like Shmuel's Torah Torah Kisatum, why do you need a Tzurat HaPetach? The Od, besides which, remember yesterday, the good old Mavui Akum, the Havi Ben Arda, we had the Mavui Akum in Arda where they did a dual Chumra job on it, and they were marked, were both like Rav and like Shmuel. I can tell you one thing, that if in Arda, which was Shmuel's jurisdiction, they were chayshes for Rav Shita, that had a din of a Mavui Mefulash, then you darn well better worry about it being a Mavui Mefulash over here, because, I mean, that was in Arda. I'll tell you what you got to do there for. Elo Amarava, Osa Tzurat HaPetach, Lekulhu, Lahai Gisa. What you're going to have to do is you're going to have to make it Tzurat HaPetach for every single one of those streets on the side in which it opens up into the large street. And then on the other side, you now treat it like a regular mobile. Picture 51. Okay? Picture 51? Good. And that way you're being consistent. You're treating it like a Mavui Mefulash, which you have to do anyway because we see people were being machmir like Rav even in Narda. And you're putting up now the Tzurat HaPetach in the right place instead of this silly idea of putting it up at the end of the street that you had. So that way you would be able to carry in each one of these streets. Now all of you Kohanim here, get ready because we're going to have a lot of coins here in a row. And what happened is that Rav Kahana Bar Taklifa, quoting Rav Kahana Bar Minyomi, who in turn was quoting Rav Kahana Bar Malkio, who in turn was quoting Rav Kahana, who was the Rav of Rav, or some say Rav Kahana Bar Malkio himself is Rav Kahana Ravi the Rav. Anyway, between all of these Kahanas, we ended up finding out that a Mavui, Shetzido Echad Aroch, Shetzido Echad Katsar, Pachot Mi-Arba'amot, Miniach Etakora Ba'alakson. Arba'amot, Eino Miniach Etakora, Ela Keneged HaKatsar. So in other words, what happens over here is we have a Mavui, which is offset. So in other words, one of the walls continues on longer than the other wall. And the question is, must we end the Mavui at the point of its shortest wall? Because after all, once it extends out into the longer wall, it's no longer has the mechitzas of the Mavui. Or can we actually use the diagonal of the Korah, such as here, where we put one end of the Korah on the short wall and one end on the long wall? So we're paskening here that as long as the long wall is not four amot, such as here, where it's four amot, then you can't put it all the way to the other end, because four amot is the heksher of its own separate mavui. But as long as it's less than four amot, use the diagonal, and you have a strange kind of mavui over here, which you can carry within the place of the korah. The question is, of course, what happened to the mechitzot? How can you carry without the wall there, bichlal? What would be the right to do such a thing? The Tosfos says this. You only have the back wall and the side wall, but not the other side wall. We're never matir unless you've got three mechitzot. And he answers, what's that? Well, not necessarily, because the Korah doesn't necessarily work with mechitzas. Remember, it's a machlokas, it works as the Korah as a heker. Yeah, we're going to get to that in a moment because this actually triggers that concern. So either, he says, you could say that the Mandi Amir holds Torah Mishra Mechitza, and that would mean it would have to be a deraisa. It could be that since it extends in this way, it creates the sense of its being all one mavi, because the rabbim will not be bokeh since they're going to be blocked by that other wall, and therefore there's no problem because rabbim will rely on it. We'll worry about lechis when we get to them. So far we're in Korah land. So if you've got four amot, then you have to leave it keneged hakatzar. Rav Amar echad zev echad zev, eino miniach at hakorah keneged hakatzar. Wrong, says Rav. You can never put a korah diagonally, and I'll tell you why I say it, and I'll tell you what they're saying, okay? Because I know exactly what they're thinking. Ve'ima taimedidi, let's start with my right svara. Now, right svara is that a korah works as a heker. And be'alakson, you do not have a heker, because the whole point of the heker is that it creates a clear-cut mental image of two mechitzot that are linked. Over here, the linkage is broken because of the diagonal, and therefore you can't use it as a heker. I understand that their logic is that the Korah is not because of heker. Korah mishumah mishum mechitza. They hold that a Korah works through an extension downward of the Korah into a virtual wall, and therefore, obviously, a wall could be any way you want it. I mean, as long as it's connecting between two mechitzot, who cares what shape it's in? I don't care if it's shaped like curlers. It's still a wall. So, ba'alakso nami abim mechitzot. Om Rav Kahana, said Rav Kahana, I got to tell you, I feel a little bit left out. All these other Kahanas get in there. Hovel b'shmaitzit the Kahanim, and since all the other Kahanas got in there, I think I should throw in a little bit of my opinions over here, too. I want to say something else, okay? When you say that you can put the Korah on a diagonal, note that you're creating another problem there. Because if you tell me we look at the width of the Mavi, and the width of the Mavi is clearly, and we're only using a Korah because we have a width that's less than 10 amot, or 10 amot and less. The problem is the diagonal increases the length of the Petach. So now if, once the diagonal is more than 10 amot, obviously we're talking about a Mavi that was significantly less than 10 wide, otherwise any diagonal will increase it. Okay. But once that 4 amot increases the diagonal to more than 10 amot, then you can't use it anymore, because yesh ba'alakson yoter mi'aser, you no longer have a petach, because 10 amot is maximum petach. So then, divrei hakol, eino miniach elo keneged hakatzar, everyone would admit, in that case, I don't care how you're viewing the Korah, it's got to be only on a petach of 10 or less.
Why would the Korah, if it's over the 10 amot, work even on the area that's less?
It won't.
Why would it work at all?
It won't. Iboilo. Iboilo. Ma'al yishtamesh tachat hakorah. Now, obviously, this triggers immediately this question, because now that you've raised the issue in my mind, how does a Korah work?
But so now,
we touched upon it, yeah. Sure, this is already the third time that we've raised the issues. There it was in passing. Here, this is the main child. So can you use, in general, forget about this case, can you use the area directly beneath a Korah? Rav, Reb Chiya, and Reb Yochanan said, yes, mutar l'shtamesh tachat Korah. Shmuel, Reb Shimon bar Revi, and Reb Shimon ben Lakish all say, you cannot use the area under the Korah. And the truth is, it isn't all that clear that they even agree with each other in each group. Because there's a lot of different possibilities for saying it's mutter or for saying it's asr. Originally, we thought it's all very simple. So if it's a heker, so then we would assume that the heker is on the outside as you're coming into your mavui. And if it's a mechitza, the assumption would be that the innermost part of the korah seals up the door. If the innermost part seals the door, obviously you can't use the part outside of the innermost edge. And Mashenkin, if it's a heker to the people outside, so then you could use even the outermost edge. So is that what they're arguing in? No, says the Gemara, not necessarily. It may be the kuliyama korah mishum heker, and the question is, heker to whom? The essential heker is for inside the mavui, and therefore it would be the inner edge. The essential heker is that since you know when you enter this mavui, that it's clearly set off from the Rishut HaRabim by what looks like an entranceway because of the Korah. Therefore, you don't come to confuse it with Rishut HaRabim. Or maybe, for that matter, maybe everybody holds Korah Mishum Mechitza. Iboitem Adekuliyama Mishum Mechitza. The Machloket, therefore, being Alka Balka Miflige. Mar Savar Chudo HaPnimi Yoreit Vesotem. Umar Savar Chudo HaChitzon Yoreit Vesotem. In which case, it may well be that the people that Aser don't all agree that they're Aser for the same reason. The people that are Matrim may not all be Matrim for the same reason. Because they may disagree about whether it's Mishum Heker or Mishum Mechitza. They may disagree about whether Chudo HaPnimi or Chudo HaChitzon. They may disagree about whether the heker is mibachutz or mibifnim. So we can't really prove the nature of the machloket over here. And this becomes very interesting as we go on. We have all kinds of possible permutations and combinations. But we'll worry about that tomorrow when Richie is back with the public alive.
Thank you. Can I ask the next question? I don't understand from your law. If we're talking about Allah, and it's here over 10, one point, I understand clearly that it's going to be this area.